It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Haseman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haseman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
It's not a crown, but it's just one game. But it is a win. It was a win. Packers even up their win-loss total by beating up on the Bears a little bit at home on Sunday night. 27-10, they win. There were some highlights from the game. There were some lowlights, but mostly good things as we went back and reflected on it. Ben also does extensive game and tape reviews, and we got a lot of plays examined as well. Take a closer look at some things on our Wednesday night YouTube show, which reminds me, you should check us out on YouTube, Haseman Bros, and subscribe while you're there. Why not? You can get alerts like everyone does here. Ben, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
All right. So
Packers won.
Yeah, they won. They won. That's the name of the game, right? Winning, although everybody wants it to be more exciting and perfect. They had a little explosion there, 21 points in one quarter, and then not a lot. But, you know, it's still a win.
Well, that's the problem is, I think even after that win, everybody was kind of like, yeah. That's just kind of how everybody was, you know? It was like, yeah, I don't know. When you have a fumble and a fumble and, you know, missed handoff and a snap and a hit a guy and he's running behind you and... There's a lot of miscues going on offense, which made it not as exciting. And then there was the big, long drive in the second half that the defense was getting gashed for running plays against them. It made you a little deflated at the end. So it was a great win in the first half. And then kind of hanging on for dear life at the end. But they did run out the clock and, you know, get some good first downs there at the end, all that sort of thing. So... It just wasn't like a exciting second half. And you could tell even after the game, like Aaron Rodgers, one of the reporters asked him, they were like, what's up? Are you like, you don't seem to be very excited. It's the first win of the year. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
But the way Aaron Rodgers acted was kind of the way all the, like most of the fans were like too. It was just kind of weird. It was like, yeah. You know, the only guy who's super excited, of course, Aaron Jones, because he killed it. It was awesome out there. And, you know, he was waiting for more questions, and nobody else had him any more questions. And he was like, I'm ready to ask some more. Talk about how good I am. And they only talked to him for like 4 minutes. And they're like, okay, see ya. And he's like, oh, are you sure you want to talk more about how good I am? And then they let him go. So, you know, whatever. But at least Aaron Jones killed it, and he was awesome.
That's your FedEx Ground Player of the Week as well, Aaron Jones.
Well, I should hope so.
Well, you never know. I mean, that's the entire NFL, so I know he killed it for the Packers and beat up on the Bears, but you never know with those things. But he did win FedEx Ground Player of the Week. Now, it looks a little different, maybe sounds slightly different tonight as well. I'm at the studio across the way from Evan, and, you know, that's where I am tonight. But, you know, most nights I'll be from the lair, the Haseman Bros studio, our Haseman family studio lair in the basement, but tonight I'm here. So... Anyway, we had the big game from Aaron Jones. Ben and I talked about it, right? After the first game, all the things Packers did wrong. And then we also talked about the things they should do. Well, we actually talked about what they should have done against the Vikings that they didn't do. And then they did those things against the Bears, and then they won. So, I mean, you know, we should probably be the coaches or something. I don't know,
maybe. I will say this about the coaches, and you brought this up on our show Wednesday night. And we looked at some video. It was awesome to see different types of running plays.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I'm waiting to see is, instead of waiting until we get inside the 20 to start calling some sweeps and some pulls and some double teams, let's call some sweeps and some pulls and some double teams from the 30 on the other side and watch these guys go for 40, 50-yard gains in the running game instead of waiting until we get into the red zone and then call them. Because it's obvious our players are better at the sweep plays and at the double team moving around, you know, crackback blocks. And we talked about it a little bit on the show Wednesday, but it's based on the fact that when you have the sweep plays, where guys are cutting, you know, sealing off on one side, and then offensive linemen or whoever are pulling around the other side, you only have to block for like a second or two, not even like a second. Just get in the way, and Aaron Jones will find the crease. When you do the zone blocking schemes, you have to get on a block and then stay on that block, and everybody has to move together, and you have to sustain your block.
And it's obvious
that our offensive linemen aren't good at sustaining their blocks. So it's much better when they do these pull plays and sweeps and stuff like that, because you don't have to block for as long. You just have to get in the way for a second while Aaron Jones or whoever's on the sweep or whatever, A.J. Dillon, whatever, are able to cruise right past you and make a big, huge play. So it's easier for the offensive linemen. It's way easier for the ball carriers to find the crease. They don't have to worry about, as soon as they get the ball, getting creamed, because let's face it, we had a lot of that going on too on regular running plays. So it's just something where hopefully they see this and they start implementing this. I mean, and the sweep is fine. The zone blocking scheme is fine. Keep doing it every now and again. But let's see some more of these other type of running plays earlier in the drive. Don't wait until we get, because that's how some of them stalled. You know, we kept doing the same old, everybody's zone block over here, and then everybody's zone block over here. And guess what? Tampa Bay's got really fast linebackers. Yeah, the zone blocking scheme doesn't work against fast linebackers.
No. You attack that. When you hold your arms out like this, it doesn't stop those guys that are attacking and shooting through the gaps. That's what we joke about all the time. The guys that hold their arms out like this. And they must train the Packers offensive linemen to do it, because they all do it.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know that we're on the radio right now?
I do.
Like,
why?
You're saying hold your arms out like this. People can't see that, you dingus. Aren't you a radio guy?
You've been doing
radio for how many years?
That's a good point.
God, I know you can see me, but nobody else could see you but me.
You're right.
Come on.
Me but
who's the professional?
Me
who's the actual award-winning journalist here? You or me? Come on.
I don't have my award on this wall, so I got to know.
It shows.
You're listening to Haven Bros, the Packers Outright Opinions, or Packer Outright Opinions, excuse me. The big show, the Friday night football that we bring to Madison, and I'm going to have Evan check. Are we on other stations this week already? If we're not, I think that's coming soon, that we might be more than just Madison here.
I'm going to have to check, too.
Check those other apps, Evan, see if we're in Richland Center, see if we're in Wisconsin Rapids, see if we're anywhere else yet, because I've heard that we want to grow. People want the show. That's what I've been hearing. We've been getting requests. Apparently, they've been calling the station.
Back. I'll be back in a minute.
All right, Evan will get back to us on this.
Calling the station for this?
That's what I heard. Now, that call might have come from my house, but I don't know. You never know.
Okay.
I might have put my kids up to it. Anyway, never mind. Beside the point.
People are void of entertainment if they're looking for this on a Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Beside the point. Hey, it's like a fall night tonight, too, man. It cooled down so much. Holy cow. Big drastic weather changes, and we hope drastic changes for the Packers offensive line, because they have been rough through the first two games. But there were some bright spots. When you talked about that, that was one thing on my list tonight, was like, look, guys have really struggled. Myers has really struggled. Royce is Royce, right? But the coaches, in changing up some of the blocking schemes, and again, you don't have to sustain blocks as long, which those guys struggle at sustaining blocks. These different schemes seem to be more effective, and we saw it in the game. Now, can that work against Tampa's defense? We'll find out, but I'd certainly like to see this mixture of run blocking, because one, it gives the offensive linemen a little bit something different to do, which is nice for them, and also makes them kind of, you get them on the move, sometimes that helps them out. And the other thing, it throws the defense off a little bit. You know, if you're just doing the zone, inside zone, outside zone, everything looks the same all the time, the defense knows how to attack that. But if all of a sudden this guy in front of you takes off because he's pulling over there and somebody's down blocking on you as a defender, that gets in your head a little bit. Now you got to watch out for this down block. Oh, now I can't just fly up the field and attack this gap, because this guy, that might actually take me out of the play. So it gets in the defender's heads a little bit too by switching up these blocking schemes, and I like it.
Yes, but there is one small problem
that could
happen on those, and the Packers took advantage of it. And everybody's going to look at that fourth down stop that the Packers had. Mm. That was, I know we're very close. Madison's very close to the Illinois border, so I'm sure there might be some people hearing this that are going to be mad.
Sorry, Bears.
Because they think that was a touchdown, and even if it was a touchdown, the Packers still win. So I don't know why Bears fans are freaking out.
Right,
but anyways,
just one score.
Back to the play and talking here. That particular play was a pull play where they pulled Lucas Patrick from right guard and had him lead up in the hole for Justin Fields. However, they made the poor decision of having a tight end try to block our defensive lineman, Reed, and Reed shoved the tight end into the backfield, which stopped Lucas Patrick from his pulling maneuver, and then also shoved him right into Lucas, which then shoved him right back into Justin Fields, which stopped that whole play from happening. So, big shout-out to Jaron Reed for an awesome play. Now, he was going up against a tight end, but still, some people go up against tight ends and get blocked. Some people, like Za'Darius Smith, go up against wide receivers and get blocked for an entire play. So it's interesting to see a guy who shoves his tight end, shoves him back 2-3 yards into the backfield, messes up the entire play, and guess what? It's a great fourth down stop because you got rallying from Campbell and Preston Smith and Jair and whoever else is back. Savage, I can't remember who all were jumping in there, but it was Jaron Reed who started that and made that play because there was a giant hole there, and Lucas was ready to lead him right through. But because Jaron Reed pushed that tight end in the backfield 2-3 yards, that messed up the whole thing. So huge shout out to that dude, and that's something you gotta look out for. I mean, you can't be having a tight end like, no, if that was a tight end with a crackback, that's different. But this was a tight end straight up with Jaron Reed. Jaron Reed just beat the crap out of him, and it was awesome.
Yeah, big guy on the outside versus an undersized blocker. That was great for the Packers and not great for the Bears. And you know, it's always a good rule of thumb to follow Lucas Patrick when you're trying to get somewhere, but he couldn't get where he needed to go because of that penetration from Jaron Reed. So that was a great play breakdown by you earlier in the week, and also really good examination of why that play didn't work. Because like you said, watching it on TV, you couldn't tell. It just looked like a big scrum, and why didn't he get in there? Why was it so tough? And was it that terrible of a call? Well, if that one guy gets held off and doesn't get that big of penetration, it probably is a touchdown. So it's maybe not a bad call, like we talked about. Anyway, hey, Bears, you know, Bears showed some stuff in the run game. They showed some improvement. They played hard. So I don't think the game later in the season, I think the Packers need to be physically ready for it, because I think this Bears team is going to keep getting better and keep figuring themselves out a little bit. So don't write the Bears off that they totally suck, although right now they do kind of suck. So, and mostly their quarterback is pretty bad, but other things kind of suck too with the Bears. Anyway, that's... But they're improving. They're a brand new coach, bunch of new players. They cut how much of their salary just to to clear guys. So they're rehauling that team. So anyway, watch out for the Bears later. We're coming to break here, Ben. So we'll come back on the other side and wrap up some stuff. But for right now, at least the Bears still kind of suck. We're back here on Packer Outright Opinions. Jason Hafeman, Ben Hafeman, your hosts of the program. Friday football nights here in Madison. Might be elsewhere here soon if we're not, but we're trying to take over the whole state of Wisconsin, just like Civic Media is here. Not maybe take over, but at least get our voices heard everywhere here in the great borders of Wisconsin. I'm right on University Avenue tonight at the Solidary Realty Studios in Madison, and Ben is in an undisclosed location. It looks like he's right at Lambeau Field, though, or something. He's got a big G behind him, so that's what the visuals are like. Ben, we were talking about the Bears a little bit, and we're talking about the Packers' offensive line. Now, the offensive line, we talked about guys that were kind of struggling, and you unfortunately, and you weren't even looking for plays necessarily, but you found some where this second-year center, Josh Myers, is having a rough go trying to find guys in space, and Royce Newman's still kind of Royce Newman.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's not even them. I mean, Jenkins on his first game back,
it was pretty rough.
He got beat quite a bit. And the thing that's weird, a lot of it was on running plays where, like, within 1 second of the ball being snapped, not even 1 millisecond, you know, Josh Myers has got beat and there's a guy in the backfield smacking A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones or whoever it was. And I don't know what happened there. I don't know why that happens. I don't know if guys just don't know what the assignments are. Sometimes, and you brought this up a few times too, on pass protection, sometimes Myers will go straight to Runyon and help him instead of helping Royce, who maybe needs more help. I don't know. But it's interesting. They're going up against a different set this week with Tampa Bay, with a little bit bigger defensive linemen, especially with Vita Vea there. But apparently Hicks is not going to play, from what I hear, and that's good news because he was, of course, a Bear for a long time and destroyed us. So
yeah, he's a
good
monster.
Not to see him again. So it's hopefully these guys will get it cleaned up. We've seen him in practice when we went there, where they have good technique and stuff. But a lot of times, when you're in practice, you're not going all out, and when you're in the game, you are. And sometimes you can over pursue. You know, you over block and you get too far out of your way. Like that happened to Myers once, where he went too far and the guy did a juke move to the inside and beat him right away because he was going to block him to the outside and he juked to the inside, and that was the end of that. So sometimes you just, you know, you're unlucky, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very difficult task this week. Okay,
yeah.
This is a game where if the guys aren't working together, it's going to be a problem. So that's hopefully will happen.
Yeah, they're gonna have to find a way to clean some of that stuff up. Lee's here. Lee, how you doing? Appreciate it. One quick thing I wanted to say about the whole situation related to that offensive line is we knew it was gonna be tough. The Packers said all offseason, right? Oh, Bakhtiari, we had the hope of Bakhtiari, we had the hope of Jenkins. We know those injuries were lasting longer than a lot of people hoped. That makes things better. It doesn't make everything better, but it makes some things better, and then you can try to figure out who should still be in the game. But I'll tell you, with the way these guys are struggling and the way Tampa normally plays, how aggressive they play and how stout they are up front and how fast those linebackers are, I'm pretty concerned. I'm pretty concerned about this game coming up. So I'm not sure what to expect from the offense in this game, which really means we got to lean on this defense. Look, there's a bunch of money put into this defense. There's a bunch of resources, high picks, all kinds of stuff put into this defense, right? And with that, this defense has to show up in this game, and they're going to have to be the reason we win.
Well, the thing that's interesting is we have a good cover team. Like when we have a good lead and the opposing team is trying to pass and so forth, then we're in good shape, right? The thing that happened to us against the Bears was they can't pass. They're not good enough. So they were forced to run to try to get back in the game. And guess what? Our guys don't want to tackle. The other thing that was very interesting was when you go back and watch the game, I didn't realize this, but the Bears were using formations specifically to keep the Packers in their base defense. During that drive where the Bears had all those big runs, Rasul Douglas was not in the game. They went with three down linemen, the two outside linebackers, two inside linebackers, and two corners and two safeties. And no Rasul Douglas. So they took our best tackler out of our secondary out of the game. And instead we had Jair, who's, let's face it, doesn't want to tackle anymore. He even admitted it in an interview. And Stokes, who's a little weak. And Savage, who's definitely not the best tackler in the world, and Amos, who apparently this year decided he doesn't want to tackle anymore. I don't know what's going on. These guys are missing tackles all over the place. Even Devondre Campbell's missing tackles, which last year he was the All-Pro. So if your base defense is having trouble tackling, the opposing team is going to start running it at the base defense, and they're going to call formations that force you to go into your base defense. And that's why I said on our show on Wednesday, I was like, hey, I think it's time maybe in specific situations where they start gashing us, let's get Rasul Douglas in the game. I don't care where. You can put him in for Stokes. You can put him in for Savage at safety. I don't really care. As long as he's out there to stop the staying run and get some tackles going. Because he's one of the guys who is aggressive, moves forward, and tackles. And that's the biggest thing. Luckily for us, Tampa Bay's offensive line is in worse shape than ours is. So that's a good move for our defense to hopefully have a big game. And maybe, you know, they got chewed out by their coaches for all the missed tackles against the Bears, and they'll shape up this week.
And they have to. They have to because, again, a lot of resources on that side. And that's where the advantages can be taken care of from the Packers, right? They can take advantage of a couple of key things that we'll get into later in the show. We're going to have keys to the game before we sign off tonight. But it's almost halftime here on the Hafeman Bros Show. You know what halftime is. There's halftime of football games. There's halftime of all things. We're approaching halftime. We got to talk about the Tampa Bay's defense, getting a little bit more about how scary they are, what we expect. Injury updates, too. The Heat. All that and more after the break. Outright Opinions here. Jason Hafeman, Ben Hafeman, your hosts, Hafeman Bros. Again, you can find us on YouTube at Hafeman Bros. Check out that channel. You can find out all kinds of videos, including our Jordan Love reaction video with the freakouts from a couple years ago that kind of boosted us up and got us a bunch of views just because we kind of flipped out like most people did when that pick was made. Right, Ben?
Yep. But I'm happy now. I mean, no, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just kidding.
He's a nice kid. He's it's just
he is. You know,
you just don't want to have a first round pick that's never going to play. It's just weird.
Well, yeah, you know, like Justin Harrell, and I mean, I could go on Derek Sherrod. I mean, I could go on and on. There's a million. How about Devontae Wyatt this year? He hasn't played at all. So I mean, it's nothing new. That's why people freak and people are still upset about it. I'm like, listen, we've had plenty of first round picks that either stunk or never played. So not everybody can be a Jair and a Kenny Clark who came in and, Kenny didn't play right away, but he played eventually. And then Jair came in and played right away. And Savage came in and played right away, though he needs to pick his game up a little bit.
Yes, he does, definitely. And we talked about defense having to win. And why does defense have to win? Because we're expecting the Packers' offense to struggle in this game. If you don't expect that going into this game, you're going to have a rough awakening. There are many reasons why. Number one, let's just look at the Tampa defense, Ben. So Tampa defense against Dallas gave up 3 points. Tampa defense against New Orleans, 10 points, but really only 3 points. A late cheap touchdown, that was it when they had a lead. 10 sacks in 2 games. And Aaron Rodgers been getting sacked on the other side quite a bit and getting hit a lot. 10 sacks in 2 games by this defense, 3 picks. Just last week, they had 6 sacks, 3 picks, and 2 fumbles. So Packers so far in 2 games have 4 sacks. So just comparison, one team's got to pick it up, and the other team's got to figure out how to contend with this defense that's flying around fast and physical.
Well, I watched the game against the Saints on the All-22, and the first thing, the first drive the Saints had against Tampa Bay, they actually moved the ball really well. They ran the ball well. They didn't pass very much. And then they did the classic Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers. You got onside the 20, and then you passed, and guess what? You stunk and had to kick a field goal. Just keep running the ball. You were doing great. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And after watching it, Tampa Bay does a whole lot of, they'll switch it up. They'll play man every now and again, but it's usually zone, okay? And it's usually eyes in the backfield, okay? And that's one of the things Aaron Rodgers will not pull the trigger when there's eyes in the backfield because he's afraid of throwing picks and that sort of thing. So to do something about that is, hey, let's go right at him. Let's run right at him. Let's force them, if they're going to stand back and wait and look at us and not be aggressive, we got to go after them. Now, there were times on the second drive, for instance, they did a blitz off the right side with the DB and the linebacker. They had like 6 guys up in the line of scrimmage and backed out the 2 guys in the middle and sent 3 guys all on the right side, and pressure got there and got the sack. So that kind of, you know, they'll do some tricky maneuvers every now and again. But for the most part, they're playing this zone thing where, you know, those 2 fast linebackers just sit back, react, and attack. But they don't attack until after they see what happens, whether it's a run or a pass. So that's very – and then, of course, the other thing really important, the corners, of course, grab and pull and yank and do all the stuff they did even in the NFC Championship game a couple years ago. And let's face it, we've seen it with Robert Tonyan. He gets grabbed and doesn't fight through it. We've seen it with Alan Lazard. He gets grabbed and doesn't fight through it. Those guys are now – Number one. They need to fight through the contact because they're going to get contact against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Those corners and the safeties will grab you and punch you and pull you even beyond five yards, which of course is illegal, but they're not going to get called for it most of the time. And if the game's going that way, you have to adjust the way you play. You have to know, okay, I'm going to fight through this and elbow the guy in the head, you know, just like I would do if I was playing you know, on the basketball court, you know me, I used to elbow guys all the time. That's what I do.
It's true.
Because I can't jump. So the only way for me to get my shot off, elbow in the gut, and then shoot over top.
Competitive nature sometimes takes over, and then you have those situations where guys will do whatever. But, yeah, I mean, in pro sports, again, the margins are so close that you're looking for little advantages. And that's, look, it's just like it's smart, even though personally it drives me crazy and messes with my internal compass. But guys will do it because what's the alternative? The officials are going to throw a flag every single play? No. Officials, even if you're doing it every single play, they're not going to throw a flag every single play. So you might as well test them and see how much you're going to get flagged for it and see what you can get away with, I guess, in pro sports. And that's what a lot of guys do. And Tampa does it all the time. And they got TB12 on their team, so they're going to get a little bit more benefit of the doubt than some other people might too, you know, than say the Detroit Lions would or what have you. As they, even though they're an awesome team, keep getting kind of screwed over by officiating and bad calls and things like that that happen to them. But they are 1-1 in the division as well. Bears are also 1-1, and the Vikings are 1-1. So everybody's 1-1.
So the Lions.
Yeah, they're all 1-1. So it's not that bad. Hey, that was one question. Hey, did you get a chance to see, before you finish up on this or go back to this, I have a note from earlier when you mentioned his name, Za'Darius Smith, destroyed the Packers in the first game. Did he play last week?
Yeah.
He had zero tackles. He did not show up on the stat sheet in the game against the Eagles for Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, they were pretty bad. I mean, they played defense like we played defense against them. So they just were just like, oh, hey, you want to Jalen Hurts? You want to throw wide open guys? Go ahead. I don't know. I didn't know Jalen Hurts was a superstar, but apparently he plays the Vikings, he becomes a superstar. Aaron Rodgers plays the Vikings, can't do anything. What is going on in this world? Kirk Cousins, by the way, plays the Packers, looks like Tom Brady. Then he goes and plays the Eagles, throws three picks, does a bunch of dumb stuff, turns into regular Kirk Cousins where he's throwing off his back foot. He got a guy blitzing at him, he's like, ah, and throws it away like a ding-dong. I don't know. This season, week one and week two, you don't know what's going on. The only thing we know for sure is that the Bills are really good.
Yep.
And that's about it in the NFL right now. So, you know, even Tampa, who you said they've only given up 13 points. Okay, well, Dak Prescott got hurt. So what that happened there in that game. And in the Saints game, I mean, it's the Saints. What do you, I mean, you got Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, come on.
He's not good. But he's the, apparently it still shows you there's, even though they talk about all these great young quarterbacks, there's still a lot of quarterback deficiency in the league because there are guys starting who stink, including Mitch Trubisky. Like, I watched some tape this week about the receivers for the Steelers getting open over and over and over, and he's not throwing them the ball, and people are just like, Mitch Trubisky just stinks. And unfortunately, he just does, but he's a starting quarterback right now.
Yeah, well, I'll say this much. I watched the game last night. There are some drops by the receivers of the Steelers too. They're not that great either, except for Pickens. He had an awesome catch, which is what we don't want to get into that because we all, people who don't listen to us, but they know that I wanted George Pickens like at 22. I wanted him at 28. When they traded up in the second round, I thought, oh, George Pickens. And of course it was Christian Watson who, listen, the jury's still out on Christian Watson.
Right.
And you said Sammy Watkins is out for this week.
Sammy Watkins pulled a hamstring. He ran super fast in the game and now his hamstring's pulled and he's down. So one thing you said that's interesting is fighting through the contact. How are those rookies who are going to have to play some substantial snaps? And even head coach Matt LaFleur said this week, Romeo is going to have to take on more of a load. How are they going to play through that contact? How are they going to react to the situation? Will they play through it? Will they be tough enough to get off of it? Coach Jason Vrabel better be on him this week. You know what's coming. You know they're going to grab and hold and pull and grab and beat you up as much as they can. You got to be tough, physically tough in this game as a pass catcher to get off the coverage and get open as soon as you can because the line is not going to be able to block too long. Sorry, I just had to get that out. Oh, we got William from, we got a caller here. We'll take a caller. Why not? Let's go with it because we were just getting into some defense. William from Germantown is on line one. Evan, you can bring him on for me if you wouldn't mind. We'll say, William, what are your thoughts? Are you afraid of this Tampa Bay defense? Not afraid, but are you concerned with this Tampa Bay defense?
Hey, fellas. I mean, I'd be lying if I said otherwise. Tampa's only given up one touchdown this year on the entire season. Granted, The Cowboys did not look like themselves from previous seasons and have struggled against Tampa historically. And that Saints offense last week, you know, Jameis Winston's back was broken quite literally, and Kamara didn't play. So the defense has Tampa's always had a strong defense. I guess I wanted to ask you guys if you were concerned more so about a few years ago, obviously, when Green Bay came down to Tampa, it really looked like the heat affected them. Mm-hmm. They just didn't seem to have it. Now, this is earlier in the season, so, you know, Wisconsin's not as chilly as it might be come December. Do you think a nice, warm Tampa Bay day might just drain the energy like we saw the last time we went down there?
It's been a problem over the years, and what a worse week to all of a sudden turn to fall here in Wisconsin for the Packers anyway, to try to prep for that stuff, because when they've gone to play games in Miami, they've looked tired, they've looked like they've been worn down, have to do more substitutions, all that sort of stuff. When they got to go to Florida early in the season, traditionally, those have been some pretty rough games for this team and these players, and you know, you can't take that out of the equation. I think it's going to play a factor in the game.
The other thing, to be honest, the entire summer around up here in the north, Minnesota and Wisconsin, has not been very hot. Like, it hasn't gotten very hot at all. So it's been a pretty mild summer for the Packers. I think Matt LaFleur even mentioned it at the end of training camp, where he was like, yeah, these guys, it's probably been the most pleasant training camp we've ever had here. Well, when they go down to Florida, it's not going to be pleasant anymore. It's going to be muggy and stinky, and you're going to have to fight through it. So that is a good point. We'll see if they can pull it off. I don't know. I'm a little concerned.
Well, this is a bit of a humorous note, but curious as to your thoughts on this. Obviously, Mike Evans' suspension, because Marshawn Lattimore is just in that dude's head. He just cannot seem to get out of it.
Yeah.
And he's a second-time offender, so it makes sense. I can't help but laugh at the media attention John Runyon Jr. has been receiving since his father is technically the disciplinarian who upheld this one-week suspension. The poor guy's a backup lineman, like getting all up on him for his father, former NFL's, I believe, Pro Bowler John Runyon. What do you think of that? I just can't help but laugh at how absurd that whole situation is.
Yeah, I was reading the story a little bit myself, John Runyon Jr. trying to play that down and talk about how ridiculous that is. But you know what? Just like I'm going to give credit to Luke Getsy for making some calls and calling too many pass plays last week against the Packers. He should have only called runs. I'm going to credit John Runyon Sr. For this. I'll give him a little bit. I think it's great. We'll take any win we can get. And, you know, Mike Evans not being in, that's one less guy to cover. So we'll take it. Although it is pretty silly, really, when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing to be concerned about, Packers fans, and I hate to say it, is Aaron Rodgers' record and Aaron Rodgers' performance against the Buccaneers over his career. For whatever reason, he has really, really struggled against the Buccaneers. Okay, he's 2-3 against the Bucs, 74.4 quarterback rating. That's not QBR. That's the old rating system where he's, for his career, well above 100. 1,208 yards, 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he's got some fumbles in there as well. So in 5 games versus the Buccaneers, those are Aaron Rodgers' statistics. And traditionally, down in Tampa Bay, they've been worse than playing him in Green Bay. So those are things to watch out for in this game, too.
He's also 1-3 against Tom Brady now after winning his first matchup in 2014 when the Patriots came to Lambeau. He has not beaten him since.
Yeah, it's rough, and we know the last time they played Tampa Bay, of course that doesn't even include the playoff loss in the championship game either, but the last time he played Tampa Bay, these are just regular season stats, that was a big stinker, right? 16 out of 35 for 160 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 35.4 last time Aaron Rodgers played the Bucs in the regular season. That's some yucky stuff. He's got to be better. The offensive line's got to be better. And this defense, that's why Ben and I we got to lean on the defense. Everything's invested in it. Defense has got to win this game. That's just it. I don't care if the Packers score 10 points, defense is going to have to figure out how to get it done and win the game. We'll tell you some keys on the other side of the break when we come back. I think there's some ways they can get it done and the defense can be of impact in this game. We got some keys. We'll get your keys too. Hafen Bros, Packer Outright Opinions. Be back in a minute. I was trying to time up with him. We're back. Go for the pack. Anyway, never mind. I'll give up. Okay. We're back on Hafen Pack, Hafen Bros Packer Outright Opinions. I'm a little thrown off by my terrible
producer.
No, not terrible producer. I was just like, I was anticipating and then I kind of mistimed it. Anyway, thanks for the stimulating music, Evan. We appreciate it. Okay. We got some other stuff going on here to talk about. Ben, I have one bone to pick with coaches before we leave this show. So we're going to deal with the Packer insight stuff first. Before we get to keys to the game, we'll do this. Then we'll do the beef. Then we'll do keys to the game. Special teams. Special teams in week two. We saw a lot better kick coverage than we've seen in, I don't know how many years. How many years? Many, many, many years. Improved coverage. Dallin Levitt flying around, being aggressive. Seemed like he got other guys going to be more aggressive too. So I like what I'm seeing from special teams coverage. Now, a little bit issues on the return game yet, but if we can cover better, that's a big key.
Yeah, especially, well, hopefully we won't have to cover much because we'll be scoring a lot of points. And I mean, only be doing kickoffs, not punts. But based on what we've seen so far, it's not terrible. I mean, they're not the worst special teams in the league. They're not screwing everything up. We did have a fumbled snap or a fumbled catch that went out of bounds and stuff like that over in the game. But for the most part, you know, it wasn't anything that we were too worried about on the last game. So hopefully it'll be better. I know this much. Jalen Darden is Tampa Bay's return man, and he is like a human, like video game joystick guy who can just juke you out of your shorts. So
yeah,
he's not super duper fast, but he just has the ability to like teleport from here to there, and it's easy to miss him. But he's really small. So I mean, he's like 5'8", 175 pounds. So I mean, if you hit him, he's going to get knocked down. But you got to be able to touch him, and that's the hardest thing with him. So he's a very good punt returner, and we'll see if they can take care of him. But otherwise, yeah, I think it was good.
I watched Coach Rich Bisaccia, his interview this week, and one thing I learned from that is that Tampa Bay's punter kicks off for them.
Yeah.
And maybe the Packers should look at that potentially because, I don't know, Pat O'Donnell's been doing awesome. Like the Packers punter, Pat O'Donnell, they signed him in the offseason, veteran guy. He's been doing great. He's been positioning the ball where he wants it, when he wants it, good distance on kicks. Look, we see it all the time. We've talked about it many, many, many times. Basically, the NFL right now, you don't have to cover kicks if you can kick it in the end zone. Mason Crosby struggles to kick it in the end zone, so we have to cover kicks most of the time. You got a dangerous return guy? Can we kick it in the end zone? If there's a guy on the team that can kick it in the end zone, that's the guy I want kicking off.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers who can kick in the end zone. Have him kick off. I mean, he makes enough money. He should be able to maybe do a couple different stuff, different jobs on Sunday. You know? Jeez. Can we have a coach go out there and kick? I don't care. Put LaFleur out there. If he's got a good leg, it might be against the rules, but
just kick it in the whatever. End zone. Please, please, please. And Mason got a couple kicks that were like 2 yards deep in the end zone. That's not going to – guys are going to bring those out. Guys are going to test this kick coverage for sure.
The other thing is the hang time on those kicks. Because yeah. One thing about the Vikings that I've been listening to the radio, they've been talking about it this week, is the Vikings kicker does a good job on kickoffs of getting the ball up really, really high. And they want to kick it to like the 1 yard line and the 2 yard line. Hmm. And they've had a lot of teams start at like the 15 and the 20 because the ball's in the air so long and the coverage can get down there and stop them. So it's different, but, and that's hard to do on kickoffs because when you kick it off a tee, it's a lot different than doing a punt. We get a lot of hang time. So, but Mason Crosby doesn't have a lot of hang time and he doesn't kick it very far. So it's a little bit of an issue there.
Oh, Brandy's here. How you doing, Brandy? Says Rogers kicking. He can't hold on to the ball that way. Oh yeah, that's true. Sometimes he's struggling to hold on to the ball a little bit sometimes now lately, but anyway, he's got to get it together. He's got to play a lot better than he has traditionally against Tampa Bay for the Packers to win, but he doesn't have to be the reason the Packers win. The defense has to be the reason, and that's why we're talking about this stuff. Okay, bone to pick, then we get to keys to the game. Bone to pick is this. I hear it all the time. Please explain to me. I understand the theory, but it doesn't work. Coaches say, we just want to get a little bit better every day, get a little bit better every week. We just want to see that continuous improvement, blah, 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 blah. It's impossible. We're human beings, right? Sometimes they're going to be good. Sometimes they're going to be bad. Sometimes guys are going to look great 1 week or one game, and they're going to look terrible the next. That's not continual improvement. That's not reality. So I wish they'd stop saying that into microphones, into the media all the time, because it drives me up a wall. It's not even real. Just be like, I want these guys to play hard. Sometimes they're going to make mistakes. Some weeks it's going to look good. Some weeks it's not going to look good. But don't give me this grad. We want every day improvement, every day. And then they say, ask him about guys. Every day he's getting a little better. He's getting it. No, he's not every day. Maybe some days he's getting better, but not every day. Anyway, sorry. Just had to get that off my chest.
Okay.
Okay, keys to the game. You take it away, bro. What are your keys in this game? Give me three. What's the number one key?
Number one key is Tom Brady.
Tampa Tom.
Tom Brady is good. Tom Brady's won 7 Super Bowls.
Unless.
He's really good. But, there's key things you have to look out for. I'm watching the game. He's getting the ball out of his hands in like a second. It's not even like he gets the ball. It's out. Ball out. Running back. Slot receiver. Rasul Douglas is going to be a key player in this game. I don't know how many passes I saw a 5-yard out to the slot. Then one time they had Mike Evans, who of course isn't playing, but they had him lined up in the slot. He did like a crossing route and then went up the sideline from the slot. And Tom threw that ball before he even made the cut. It was in the air forever, but it was anticipation throw, which we know Rodgers doesn't like to do. But that's the key. Do not, and it's I think the defense, the Packers defense, they're going to be like, they're going to be like sharks smelling blood in the water, right? Tom Brady, you can't move. It's an easy sack. Let's go. But sometimes it's better to be smart. Be a thinker, not a stinker. Remember we used to hear that all the time? And you got to be smart with Tom Brady. Don't go and try to get around the tackles to get Tom Brady because he'll just step up.
That's true.
Contain the pocket. Push your guy in. Rashawn Gary, just do your bull rush and then work off it to the inside because we want to see Tom Brady run to the outside. That's great. He can't pass when he's running to the outside. But when he steps up and passes, he's perfect. So be smart. Watch out for those quick passes to the slot, quick passes to the running back. And for God's sake, don't let Scotty Miller go deep. Okay, just don't. It'll bring back terrible memories, and it'll make you want to really be sad.
How many keys was that? That was a lot of keys. We're wrapping up here in a minute, but that was a lot of keys. But I think you got all of them in one breath there because the biggest key to this game is pressure on Tom Brady and smart pressure. If Gary keeps collapsing guys down, that's huge. And number two, if you can make sure that you have inside pressure will make Tom Brady wilt. He'll throw it up. Throw picks. We need some picks to win this game. So pressure Brady, get some picks. Defense light him up. Rasul be Rasul. And the Packers are going to win 10-7. Ben, what's your final score before we go?
I'm going to say 17-10. Packers win.
Woo! Packers win! It's all said and written by Hafeman Bros. Catch you next week.